Okay, happy Friday. Picking up notes here and there. There's so much scattered all over the map of importance. There's a lot of it that's not important, but there is a great deal that needs to be noted and attempted to be analyzed from our perspective here. And we do that for you three times a week. Erica Kahn is with us, my partner and colleague, associate, whatever you want to call it. We are doing the best we can, and she works awfully hard researching this for all of you. And I know many of you have written with letters of appreciation, and they're all very much they're admired, and we do appreciate the good feedback. It's not fun. It's a negative sort of, well, the hunt is on, and the hunt is not happy. It is a negative sort of thing that we're trying to take apart for you and put back together so you can understand it. Now, the big story today we're going to get into in just a minute is in the UK. And it has to do with something some of you, I hope, will laugh at because it's getting to be ridiculous. Erica, welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back.
What's going on in the UK? Let's tell them. You go ahead. I'll jump in here. But it's gotten to the point now where it is so ludicrous that you can see how they're overtly trying to steer the sheep. It's not a mystery. It's not any kind of sleight of hand. It's right in our faces. They're playing with us like they have absolutely no respect, which they don't, need I tell you. So tell us what's going on over there. Just give us an overview.
Well, as of the last week, as far as I can tell, they've now begun encouraging people to get tested for HIV. And, you know, up until now, we've just been speculating that this was going to be their next shenanigan. But they're already going full tilt on it with it in the UK, with a goal of eradicating HIV by 2030. So this is going to be an all-out effort to have everybody now get tested frequently for HIV. I still say that this is the cover story for people that are whose immune systems are being decimated by these injections. And it is conceivable that they may actually have HIV. I'm not sure how many people are aware of this, but these adenoviral vector vaccines, which the AstraZeneca and the J&J were using and the Sputnik as well, they had a very bad track record back in the late 2000, maybe 2009 to 2014. They ran a series of trials with adenoviral vectors, similar to what they're doing with COVID, the coronavirus, except this was for HIV. And in each of those trials, well, the first two, the vaccine offered no protection against HIV. In fact, it actually increased the probability that you'd become infected by a whopping 41%.
Really?
And the third vaccine trial showed no efficacy whatsoever, and so it was dropped early. But I don't know if that's what's behind this, that they are expecting people now, if they've had particularly the adenoviral vector vaccines, or I don't know, there's not a lot known about the mRNA, Pfizer and Moderna, but they knew from those trials, and much was published on it, and Anthony Fauci was involved in that, they knew that all these people that had that vaccine were at very increased risk of acquiring HIV, the legitimate bona fide HIV. So I don't know. Is it a cover story or is it the real deal? I don't know.
In the UK, there is allegedly a relatively small HIV epidemic going on now. That's what they call it, with an estimated 101,000 people living with HIV. Now, I hasten to add that a lot of this obviously came from sub-Saharan Africa, where one-third of the adult black Africans, hell, teenagers and on up, because they grow up when they're 12, 13 years of age, have and are living with human immunodeficiency virus. They have AIDS. When you have HIV, you have AIDS. There's no bifurcation there. It is the same thing. HIV means AIDS. Your immune system is beginning to be eroded. It will fall down. It will collapse. It will implode, and you're going to be dead before you normally would have. So about 101,000 in the UK have it and are living with it. Many of them don't know it. Many of them, the government don't know, have it. They're not able to test. These are mostly black Africans, some Middle Easterners, but it has almost all been brought in. I'd say 75 to 85% has been brought in the last 5 to 10 years. So that's at the root of the HIV problem in the UK. It's some numbers are up to 105,000. It's difficult to say. But let's just say that you got 105,000 to round it off. 94% of these are diagnosed, they say. So what is the real number? Because we know they're not checking everybody for HIV there. They're just not. This is again, wide open to the extent that they can play with it any way they want to. They're not being held down by hard science. This is open. It's loose. And it's being manipulated. So keep that in mind. How common is it in England? 105,000, as I said. An estimated 4,600 are unaware, they say, of their infection. I doubt that figure. I don't think that's an accurate figure at all. So is it a big problem in the UK? It's growing. Why all of a sudden have they been testing American hospital patients, allegedly, who have COVID for not just COVID, but for HIV COVID? That is a printed label on the test, and it's also on the charts of apparently at least one major hospital in Florida. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was on the charts of dozens of hospitals around the country. So why the label HIV COVID? That's interesting to me.
It sure is. You know, the HIV was hardly an epidemic here. You know, it was restricted in general to specific subsets of the population. But to be testing the general population, you know, when they have a respiratory virus or HIV, but why? Unless they know something.
Unless they know something, or unless they're about to release something, huh? To plan something. And if you doubt any of this...
If this adenovirus vector research is any indication, they knew from those studies that this type of genetic vaccine alters people's immune systems to make them more susceptible, well, at least to HIV, but maybe other things as well, but it cripples the immune system. The immune system has a better chance on its own than it does from these, you know, when you introduce these interventions. They're immune suppressive in and of themselves.
You're going to get AIDS if you've had any injection at all, in all likelihood. You will get AIDS. Will it be HIV-induced AIDS? Probably not. It will be vax or bioweapon-induced AIDS. It is obviously going to destroy your immune system either quickly or more slowly. But you are in trouble. And that, I'm sorry to say it, and that is a negative statement, but that is reality. We're not playing games here. This is a life and death situation. As far as taking this to the public in the UK, and I always look at the UK as a template of what they're going to roll out here next. Prince Harry, he's just a jerk. My opinion, not Erica's, is telling all people in the UK to get tested for HIV immediately. Why? To protect others in the same way as you would for COVID. This is what he says. The Duke of Sussex. He rolled out a video with this. Let me see what else I can find. It just gets sillier. The Duke of Sussex has urged people to, quote, know your status. That's the new term, see? Know your status. And get tested for HIV, saying he hopes to carry on his mother's work to help eradicate stigma and misunderstanding surrounding the virus. I don't know that there's any real misunderstanding much about it. People know what HIV is. It was introduced into the African population with the smallpox vaccine, the last big smallpox epidemic program they had. It was introduced into the homosexual community here in the late 70s with their hepatitis B vaccine program. Vaccine, remember? That was before they had mRNA vaccines. But they certainly had the ability to put HIV in the vaccines, and they apparently did. That's the understanding that I had long ago. Harry told former Welsh rugby captain Gareth Thomas, who lives with HIV, he's got it, that there has been a huge charge in the number of people openly talking about the condition in the 35 years after his mother, Diana, Princess of Wales, opened the first AIDS unit at Middlesex Hospital in London. But more must be done, he says, to make progress toward the goal of ending new HIV cases by, you heard Erica say it earlier, 2030. Now, tell our listeners what they'll see if they go online. And let's say you want to get your own, you want to get tested. You go online, you look up HIV tests. What suddenly popped up all over the net?
Yeah, these home tests. Home tests for HIV and then a variety of other sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, we're coming into some kind of testing frenzy. We're going to be testing for every microbe under the planet. And God forbid, if something comes up positive, what, we don't leave our house? What?
Fear-based. It's all fear-based. That's the propulsion.
It's definitely a control mechanism.
What do I have? Oh, you bet. Exactly. So there we go. I mean, it just goes on and on. I'm going to do something fun here because I really do think this is coming here next. Because a friend of mine who was murdered in the hospital had an HIV COVID test. In fact, he had several of them. And he wrote to me and he said, I said, what the hell is that? He didn't know. And I talked to another doctor today, very busy. He has not seen HIV connected to COVID on a test yet. But I think they're going to roll it out solo, by itself. I don't think they're going to tie it to COVID. The idea is to drive people's attention away from COVID into something else. And the villain is going to be HIV. Here's a little quick video with Harry, Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, talking about HIV with his friend Gareth Thomas, who has it. Listen, just a couple minutes of this.
Hi, I'm Gareth Thomas, and I'm here with Tackle HIV, and we are very lucky today to be here with a very special guest of mine and a really... really strong advocate for the HIV community, and that's Harry. Hello, bud, how you doing?
Hello, bud, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks, man. You all right?
Yeah, very well. Nice to see you. Looking strong, looking healthy.
Mate.
You've always got a smile on your face. Everyone loves it.
I try. So I think a really good place to start is the relevance of this year, right, and the fact that 35 years ago, this year in April, your mother opened the first specialist HIV AIDS unit at the Middlesex Hospital in London. Now, in that length of time, do you, somebody who's taken on the advocacy, feel that much has changed? And when I say changed, right, I mean change. I don't mean so much progression to nowhere. I mean, has there been obvious change?
Well, that's so interesting that you're asking me that question, because I think people would far rather hear that from you. Like, this is, you know, a virus that...
You know, it's funny. I'm going to stop it there, because whenever people say that, that's a very interesting question you ask me. It's because they don't have an answer, and they're buying time to come up with something. It's true. It's simple psychology. What an interesting question. Or, I'm very glad you asked me that question. And if you watch them, they'll stammer around. Harry didn't have much to offer right there. So, okay. Now, you were able to dig up, which you sent me earlier this morning, about, I guess, Maria Caulfield, that social media post about HIV testing. You want to read that one? Do you have that up in front
sure.
of you? If not, I can read it. Yeah, read that. That's interesting.
Let's see here.
Either one. There's two of them. So.
Yeah, okay. Today, this is a Maria Caulfield MP. Today I joined HIV Testing Week by getting a quick, easy test for HIV. Viruses don't discriminate. Anyone can get HIV, so I'd encourage anyone who hasn't yet to find out your HIV status to help achieve our goal to end HIV transmission in England by 2030.
2030. Now, that gives them 8 years to play this game, okay? And I'm not saying I know what's going to happen exactly, but the door is open for HIV to be brought in, and clearly, at least in one Florida hospital, and I would bet more, they're already tagging COVID tests with HIV. I think it was a transitional move myself. I think you're just going to go to straight HIV testing. And what, pray tell, are the tests that they use to determine HIV? There are three primaries. The ELISA test, the Western blot test, and our old standby, the PCR test. Those three. Really not worth much of anything.
No, they're just a screening test. The ones I'm seeing online are only detecting one marker protein.
That's
something
it?
Called GP24. And
so if I buy one
present,
online, that's it. One marker protein.
I believe, yeah, that's it. They're looking for this one distinct, supposedly distinct marker protein called P24. But this protein is only present transiently. No more. It would be present probably a couple days after exposure, and then maybe 4 to 6 weeks until your body generates antibodies, and then you can't find it anymore. So it's not going to show up on that test. So I think the idea is to just for everybody to be testing themselves weekly, since this is a transient protein that would appear in the blood.
Something wrong with that? Once a week for 25 bucks, huh? Sounds like some money-making to me. Another angle to make money on suffering,
oh,
fear.
Oh, this is beyond ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
But this idea that we now have a substantial portion of the population legitimately immune suppressed by virtue of taking these injections, HIV may take hold in the general population where it may not have before.
And what better way to try to shift attention away from the bioweapon kill injections than to hang it on HIV, which is an old war horse of fear mongering, if there ever was one. This is a veteran. So they're going to pull this out of the closet and they're going to turn it loose. It's perfect. Do I know this for sure? No, I may be wrong, but I can't think of a more obvious way to take people's attention. Remember, it's all about don't look in this hand, look over in this hand. Misdirection. Here's another little quickie that Erica got off one of the social media boards. Jess Phillips, MP. An MP over there is a Minister of Parliament. So this must be a ranking individual. I don't know the name, though. She says, it's HIV testing week next week, so here I am doing it. Please get a test. It's really important. So HIV test. See, they've already got this thing launched in the UK. That's my point. How quickly could it come to the U.S. and become a news item, a sensation, in fact. One plane ride away, if they would even bother with that, they could just give it to somebody here or find somebody who's got it and say, he didn't have it a week ago, he's got it now. Get tested. And the mainstream media, you've seen it 100 times, they will do exactly as they are instructed. So they'll start to roll out the same script, same old stuff.
It's already here. If they were testing,
of course it's here.
our friend there back in December. It's here. They're just waiting to launch it mainstream. And being that the UK is, I don't know, they're probably 1 to 2 weeks ahead of us in terms of rolling out the vaccine and everything that went with it. I would bet within a week or two we'll be getting the same announcements here.
I think your bet is, I'm not going to bet against that. I'll be right with you. I agree.
I mean, there's so many people now whose immune systems are failing.
And what are these people going to do? They have to come up. This is common sense psychology, mass psychological engineering. They have to come up with another explanation as to why virtually everyone who's taken these injections no longer has a functional, competent immune system. And please remember what the Germans found out. They found out that anybody over there who had taken two of the shots, just two, not three and a booster, had only 12.3% of their immune systems left after just a few weeks. And they didn't test it again later on. Could be down to 8, 7, 6, we don't know. So their immune systems were already down to 12.3%. What kind of a defense do you have against countless diseases that would walk into your body and infect it? You have virtually none. None. You're toast.
Yeah, it's true. The similar data came out of the UK and then subsequently Denmark also. They're all reporting the same decline in immune function.
If you go again and just for fun, type in Google, type in HIV tests. And the ads start popping up right away. Ads, shop HIV tests, Everlywell, at home HIV test, $50. Oh, excuse me, $149. Everlywell, at home STD test. For males. In other words, for $150, you can test for all kinds of STDs. Now, is that a good idea? Actually, it is a good idea. Unfortunately, these kids are going to go out and reinfect themselves before the antibiotics can ever do any good. There's nothing holding them back.
Yeah, it's crazy because, yeah, this is going to usher in, you know, the market for treatments, either prophylactically or post-exposure. And, gosh, I can't even imagine how many drug-resistant antibiotics we're going to have after this, or the antivirals that stop working more virulent forms of whatever the infectious agent was.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. Exactly. They'll learn how to walk around the antibiotics, and they'll become resistant. So we are headed into one of the most obscenely profitable periods of ill health and dying people that could be imagined. And the average American really doesn't understand it. And for those of you listening who are indeed vaxxed and may have vax remorse, maybe you don't. There are things we're hoping that will be able to become widely available, and you'll hear it first, probably here, where we can try to help you maintain a credible immune function so you don't have to get sick and go into the hospital and suffer. One of the first things I think I should mention is the idea that to protect yourself, whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed, is one of the most old and proven ways of not becoming infected. And that's simply to stay away from the potential of becoming infected. That means when you go out in the stores, I'm suggesting you wear a mask. And I hate masks. But if it's going to give me a 5% chance of not collecting this flu or whatever they may release, I'll take it. So there's one, but being around other people is now not a good thing. Not a good thing.
Yeah, I hate to say it. Until we know what it is, there's always a risk. And with the stories of people having spent time around recently vaxxed people, or even vaxxed people in general, they're still getting sick. They're getting clots. They're having miscarriages. That phenomenon is still ongoing.
They're not able to drive as well either. And I get more reports about that all the time from people just writing in saying, you're right. These people are not driving the same as they used to. Not at all. So,
no, even seeing people just in the stores, they seem like they're in a daze now. I mean, for a while there, what I was noticing was people were unusually giddy and outgoing, bizarrely so in some cases. And now they seem as if they're in a stupor.
And also nasty. I'm getting reports.
Yeah, I'm seeing a little of that. Yeah, that too.
Hostility too. So that would be caused by some of your thinking. Well, what could cause that? Well, what could cause that is microclotting in the brain. That's just one issue. Okay? You cannot go around and expect, if you are injected, not to be developing microclots. And you cannot go around expecting not to be developing them in your brain. It's one of the first places these things seem to go to. All the other major organs as well. So if you're having little areas of your brain, one capillary's worth with however many cells on the downstream side of the blockage, dying, little bits of your brain are dying all the time. And yes, it's going to show up. And yes, it's very tiny. And then we have the other issue, prions. Tell us a little bit about prions and how they just might be a factor and might get into the brain.
Well, prions are misfolded proteins. And there's a particular, there is a distinct prion protein that's in the body. It seems to be associated with nerve cells or have something to do with nerve function. They've never really determined what its function is, because we can certainly live without this particular prion protein, or mice can anyway. They've engineered mice to not have that protein, and they seem to do just fine. But anyway, that generally is the source of prion disease that arises spontaneously in people. But you can acquire prion disease, too, by eating infected meat, or cannibalism is another source of prions. When one organism, such as a human, eats another human, or a cow is fed another cow, those types of practices promote prion disease. But then we have another issue of misfolded proteins, which are known as amyloids. And the most well-known one is Alzheimer's, where you have the misfolded tau and what's the other one? Well, the amyloid. And then the alpha-synuclein in Parkinson's disease. So these are all misfolded proteins, but they can occur not just in the brain, but throughout the body.
CJD?
That's actually... that will form holes. The amyloid diseases that are misfolded proteins are just clumps of proteins that won't dissolve. They're insoluble. Mm-hmm. But the prions will leave holes, and that's why they call it spongiform encephalopathy.
I remember when we went through this original mad cow thing over 20 years ago now, we had CJD, VCJD, NVCJD. They had all these different alleged kinds of CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. These were linked in and tied to the mad cow issue. It never diminished. It's still around, and we don't know how many people are actually suffering from it, but if you're seeing people in the stores now who look like they're in a daze, do they look beady-eyed, like they're kind of just not there? What do they look like? This is interesting to me.
Yeah, they're just like they've checked out. They're just not present.
Zombies.
A little bit, yeah. Mm. You know, it's like they're asleep.
At the wheel.
And I am seeing more of that on the road and in driving. It's right. Common now. And it's different from, you know, somebody that's texting or distracted while they're driving, or I would compare it almost to somebody that's drunk, but they're not really weaving or anything. They're just going real slow.
Uh-huh.
And putting blinkers on and then not turning, or they just seem like they're in a daze.
Wow. I was just looking
like
back at somebody's...
Like they're not able to process the external stimuli to go very fast.
Well, I think you just said the word. They're not processing like they used to. The data is coming in, but it's not being dealt with. It's kind of just sitting around.
Yeah.
These home tests, when you factor in the fear and the paranoia, understand that they're really capitalizing on this. There's another test kit for $150 that tests for 7 common STDs. They have HIV tests, and they have... this is going to be a growth industry. They're testing for gonorrhea, syphilis, HIV 1 and 2, trichomoniasis, chlamydia, and hepatitis C. Now, that's an interesting one to be... I didn't know they put it firmly in the STD category, but I guess it makes sense. Hepatitis C is a liver infection caused by the hepatitis C virus. And yes, there are viruses. It's a bloodborne virus, and it's more commonly transmitted through needles or blood exposure directly, and only rarely spread through sexual intercourse. So they say. But what they did say here is that it is a bloodborne virus. That's what it is. Now, you don't know this, but most people, without even brushing their teeth, just in normal day-to-day life, have about, I think it's about 50% of the people have blood, literal blood, in their saliva at all times due to poor gum health. So in that blood can be hepatitis C, can be HIV, can be anything that's bloodborne. So 50% have blood in their saliva at all times. All right? If you brush your teeth or kiss someone, you're likely to be over 95% in terms of having blood products in your saliva because of poor gum health. Your gums bleed. They don't bleed red, but they bleed. And you can't see it, but it's there. So there is an oral transmission vector easy for bloodborne viruses and other things. So keep that in mind, too. So who you kiss matters. In many ways.
I can see where this is going, though. I mean, people are going to become obsessed with
testing,
whatever they can test for, they're going to want to test for. But, you know, you really shouldn't be making decisions on treatments based on one test. But I think what they're going to do is, if you come up positive for any of these things, you're probably going to call a number or push an app on your phone, and you're going to get a delivery of antibiotics or antivirals. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Oh, yeah, delivered by drone here pretty soon, too.
Yeah, they are going to do away with doctors. I mean, they're dismantling the healthcare system, so, you know, your phone's going to be your doctor.
So it'll be a Zoom chat with an AI doctor?
Probably not even. It's just, it's probably going to be all pushing buttons.
and reading what they throw at you. Here, read this, diagnose yourself. Interesting. U.S. have HIV. I got to check this. We have 105,000 in round numbers who have HIV 1 and 2 in England. I'm trying to find U.S. statistics. Let's see.
I think I read it was about 1 million, 1.2 million or something. Maybe it was 12 million.
No, I think it's one plus. I think you're right. Now they've gotten it reduced down now to a one pill per day HIV treatment. But my God, what's in the pill? It could be 10 different things. And do remember that AZT, the old-fashioned HIV treatment, would go right into your bone marrow and wipe out your immune system.
Yep.
Simple. 1.189 million in the U.S. carrying HIV at the end of 2019. So you were right. So look at the market, okay? And then watch what happens when the mainstream media, the controlled media, begins to put the pedal to the metal and to drive up the fear and make people not any longer connect, even if they do now, which very few do, the injection they took 6 to 9 months ago with the fact that their immune system is failing. It's because they caught HIV. That's what they're going to tell them. This is all about misdirection and giving people an excuse so they can handle it in a different way. Not good.
And now we have Moderna ready to offer, or what they've begun their clinical trials for their HIV vaccine.
Where do I line up?
join the phase two trials.
they're going to put this out the same way. If they want to panic, they won't wait 10 years to find out if this mRNA HIV so-called vaccine works. They'll just get an EUA. Remember, there's no legal culpability when you're under an EUA. So this could
have to declare a pandemic, which
they
could.
Actually have to do that? A full-blown pandemic?
That was my understanding. That's the main reason they're getting away with what they're getting away with right now is because we're still in a pandemic.
Okay. Even though Fauci told us it's fading.
If we have enough people coming up positive, testing positive with some rigged test for HIV,
right,
here's the next pandemic.
It's right there. Easy. And let's be honest. They can rig these tests, as you just said, to test positive, let's say, 85% of the time. That's how they'll make the tests. They can do that. They can
right.
do anything.
They did
anything.
It with a PCR test. That never should have been used as a diagnostic. And then, you know, ramping up the cycle thresholds, and we don't even know what the primer sequences were. Well, what are they actually looking for? They were never verified, you know, with the Sanger sequencing afterwards, so.
Right. Okay,
but it was
so
all...
just.
Yeah, go ahead.
To keep everybody up to date, what Erica just said, the Moderna and Excision Biotherapeutics, are they both entering the HIV vax battle?
With
CRISPR, these are different.
Moderna is working on a mRNA vaccine for HIV.
Okay.
And this other company, Excision Biotherapeutics, out of Philadelphia, is going to offer CRISPR, which is a gene editing therapy technique.
Okay.
To go in there, and if you're confirmed to be actually infected with HIV, this is CRISPR will go in there and edit, cut out the offending gene.
Got it. Well, good luck on that. I sure do trust it. So here's another mRNA vaccine, and I repeat what we've been telling you for months now, that all new vaccines are going to be mRNA or something like that. We're going into a whole new generation of vaccines. And they can put anything they want in these things. And we're not going to know. They're not going to spend the normal requisite 10 to 11 years to test a vaccine. It's not going to happen. It's called instant profit. Get it out there. EUA, give us our money. Pfizer has made made $72 billion in the first 9 months of 2021. So it obviously broke the $100 million barrier at the end of the year. And I don't know how many people are taking the shots now, but they've got their pills now coming out, which are, I understand, very expensive. We also know that the term VADES was beginning to stick with a lot of people. Vaxxed acquired immune deficiency syndrome. VADES. They don't want that. They don't want people thinking about the vax. They want people thinking about HIV. So they're going to call it traditional HIV/AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess.
That's the cover story. And then the other cover story that I think they've got going now is this hemorrhagic fever.
That
and that's going to be the cover story for this DIC, disseminated intravascular coagulation, that many of these vax people are experiencing. This is the abnormal blood clotting where you get, leaky blood vessels, vascular permeability. And so, you start bleeding and clotting at the same time, and you go into this multi-system organ failure. And it looks like a hemorrhagic fever. So they've got the cover stories ready to go.
They've got as many as they want. Correct. They had two people in the UK apparently came back from a visit to Africa, Western Africa, and they were diagnosed, allegedly. You have to qualify everything now because it's so many lies. You just don't know who to believe. Two had it, Lassa fever. Tell us what Lassa fever is briefly, and then we'll give them the punchline here.
Well, it is a hemorrhagic fever. It's not spread person to person. People acquire it from apparently rodent feces, urine contamination, that type of thing, and also
don't we
occasionally
think mosquitoes. Yes.
Yeah, mosquitoes could be another mode of transmission, but it's generally, as far as I know, it's not person to person transmission.
Well, they could change that too, couldn't they, if they wanted to?
Yes, they could.
They could tell us that was the case and even ramp up the fear further. This is all about fear. One dead, as of today, of the two people who reported back from Africa with Lassa fever. So one has allegedly died. We'll see. That makes a 50% mortality rate, doesn't it? All right. Remember Gates, little Billy Boy, telling us about how Marburg was going to be the next that we faced, the hemorrhagic fever, Marburg. And then there was talk about Ebola, and now we've got two cases of Lassa fever. These are hemorrhagic viruses. And I guarantee you, and we've said this before, all it would take would be a couple of video clips of somebody bleeding in a hospital bed out of their eyes, their ears, their nose, their mouth, and other areas that won't be seen on television, okay? That's all it'll take to scare the living daylights out of people. And they will be buying their HIV test kits, if that's what they're told to buy, like there's no tomorrow. They will. They will. All right, let me shift over to, we lost another giant. And I don't want to exclude Charlotte Iserbeet from that for a moment. But in the medical world, we lost Dr. Luc Montagnier. He died. Why did he die when he died? This is all very interesting. Luc Montagnier, along with an assistant of his, was given the Nobel Prize for discovering HIV. What do you think?
I think it's awfully convenient that he should die right about now. And they're not listing a cause of death, as far as I know.
So right when they roll
up.
Right, go.
No, if they're getting ready to pull some shenanigan with this HIV thing, like they did with the PCR test, he'd be one of the first ones to call it out, to refute it.
Oh, he would raise holy hell. And
just like Carrie Mullis would have done with his PCR test.
He would have stopped it. He would have ruined their whole parade.
Yep.
No doubt. And Carrie Mullis died 90 days thereabouts before they rolled out this whole thing in 2020. Just conveniently got pneumonia, they said, and died. The guy was fit as a fiddle. You look at the interviews of him up there, at least they were up there, and watch how he says this test is not suitable for testing to find any clinical infectivity. It's just not. That's not what it's designed for. It's a tool. It's not that kind of a test. And he would have ruined what they did. Now, Luc Montagnier would have utterly ruined and derailed their HIV game, if that's what's coming, and it does look like it's coming. So Luc Montagnier dies very conveniently just before this thing steps into high gear. Were these two people murdered? I would suggest it's 50-50. Take your pick.
Yeah, you can't deny that it's just awfully convenient that they're no longer here.
David Deese was murdered, the world's greatest political artist, and I, as you know, I think I worked with David. He was a neighbor, and we worked together on his art for years. And he would have annihilated this whole scam. And he was taken out with a cancer that did not respond to the most vigorous radiation therapy that there is. And that doesn't happen. And I talked to the people in the office, and the nurse told me, she said, we have never seen anything like this before. So, yes, they have those kinds of tools. Yes, they can do anything they want. And I'll also, real quick, Dr. Montagnier went to Africa to study HIV and how it was transmitted, or potentially so. And every biting insect that he could get his hands on was collected, sampled, and analyzed. And every biting insect that he got either had HIV live virus or genetic particles of HIV in it. He went back to Paris to publish his findings, which would have been quite shocking because it wasn't supposed to be transmitted that way. And he met a friend of mine on an elevator, Dr. I better not say it. And he told this doctor of his trip to Africa and that he had found in every biting insect HIV or pieces thereof, genetic pieces. And he said he was told before he even got back to Paris that if you try to publish your data, your family will pay a price. And he said, that's the end of it. This data will not be published. So that's how it works. It's all about threats. And if threats don't work, they'll kill people. Gee, it sounds pretty negative, Erica.
Well,
it's called reality.
It's just really tragic that there's still so many that don't see it. They really don't see it.
And if they do see it, the some that do try to tell other people, they don't want to hear it. So they lose friendships and they lose jobs. They lose. It's a terrible conundrum. And believe me, the supercomputers with their AI knew. They know exactly what's going on. They know exactly what's going to happen when they introduce something. They know exactly what they can do and they can't do with the public. And that's why nobody's getting up off their butts here in the U.S.
They have gamed it. I mean, we have that thing called the Sentient World Simulator. And all it does is, it's been doing it for, what, maybe 20 years, collecting data from the population.
And don't forget also that Dr. Bobby Malone himself said in an interview on video that they have been gaming this for over 20 years.
Yep.
That's what he said. So there it is. We are doing our best to track this, and it seems like every time we get ready to come on, there are new and stunning things. Anything you want to add about Novavax real quick?
No, but I just saw this article on the infusion center for remdesivir. Stop in and have an infusion.
Yes. Thank you. I put it up on the home page. It's at the bottom of the home page graphics, at the top of the page, the second one. Look at it. You can stop it. You can study it. They're offering... Tell them again. This is fascinating.
Yeah, if you're feeling like you need a hit of remdesivir, just drive in and get an infusion.
Can you believe this? And this goes along with the home remdesivir kit that somebody's trying to bring out.
Mm-hmm.
Dose yourself at home. I mean, I just... You can't make this up. Well, all right. Young lady, thank you again, and have a wonderful weekend. And we'll be back Monday to do this again. We're always learning.
Okay, Jeff, thank you. Good night, everyone.
All right. We will be back Monday, and we'll be with you throughout the weekend on the network. Thanks for being here. Thanks for paying attention. Thanks for caring. And thanks for your very kind emails. We do appreciate them. Take care. Talk soon.